for you and I. For you and I. For you and I.
Which I'm very tempted to actually say is something which we should actually offer to most folk who are actually in search of jobs and careers and various other things. Certainly meeting people halfway in terms of interview skills, work experience, preparation, all vitally important parts of the whole thing. And indeed, a recent ICM research survey has actually pointed out how traineeships can indeed give young people the skills that employers are actually looking for to address this and more. We're delighted to be able to welcome to the sequence this morning the head of employer and provider services for the Skills Funding Agency, the legendary Harminder Mathario. How are you, Harminder? Are you well?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Good. Again, these are kind of things which you might say come from the Department of the Blooming Obvious, but actually they are critical in terms of actually getting jobs in an ever-competing job market.
Certainly. Absolutely. Very, very critical. And basically, this is traineeships are a great response to what businesses are looking for. Employers are often saying that young people don't have the basic skills. So traineeships are a great way to unlock the great potential of young people. And they give them the work experience, but work preparation training, English and math, and work experience that they need to get really settled into a job or an apprenticeship.
Some very interesting insights provided by the ICM poll. Three quarters of employers surveyed would be more likely to recruit a young person or school leaver if they'd prepared well for an interview. And it's something we always say, look, whether you're going for a job with a media organisation, and in particular, if you're looking at that area, check out what they have on the website. Do your research. Find some useful sort of information about the agency you're looking to apply to.
Yes, and the traineeship offer does include the support around employability skills. So that is CV, interview preparation, which is the bit of, you know, research into the employer that you're talking about, Alex. So it's a really, really good opportunity for young people to gain all the elements needed. So that's, you know, the work experience element, and it's a quality work experience element that is led that the employer will offer, but the traineeship itself is fully supported by a registered training provider. So employers have some support there to guide them through it.
Yeah. And, of course, that critical aspect, certainly in every sense of the word, ensuring that your CV is not only up to date, but also not with spelling mistakes, spelling errata, that is actually well thought out, that's well presented. These are, again, important aspects before you even meet your prospective employer.
Well, that's the first impression. So, again, what a traineeship can do for a young person is really take them through how to prepare your CV. And in terms of the basics, some young people may have missed out on an opportunity because they weren't perhaps at the right level of English and maths. So the literacy there is very critical to making sure the content on their CV, as you say, spelling mistakes, etc., and grammar is a big area as well.
Yeah. So, particularly if you're going into journalism, I find.
We urge any young people out there who have been applying for apprenticeships or traineeship or jobs generally to have a seriously consider traineeships as a route into those other areas.
Can you just define the definition of a traineeship as opposed to an apprenticeship? Are there similarities, or is it a case of no, that there are specific structural differences?
Yeah, they are very different. A traineeship is an opportunity for a young person to enhance their skills, gain some confidence, experience the workplace in reality. An apprenticeship is actually a job with structured training which leads to nationally recognised qualifications and lasts a minimum of 12 months depending on what level you enter into an apprenticeship programme. So essentially the traineeship for some young people will be the precursor. So they may start on a traineeship, and then a lot of employers who are offering traineeships also offer apprenticeship programmes. And if the end result of the traineeship is successful, then there's no reason why that employer, should they have the vacancy, offer them an apprenticeship.
And that Harmender, is why you're such a good head of employer and provider services, because you can actually define that. It was something which I know a couple of our listeners have been a little bit confused, or we've been focusing on both of those aspects, but I think you've clarified the issue there perfectly in terms of the differences between the two. It's all about getting people employed doing stuff that they actually like doing and enjoy doing, and all the rest of the bits and pieces, really.
Definitely, and it's a win-win, because the young person gets a chance to experience the workplace in any given sector that they, you know, they think, I want to work in engineering or whichever area it is. They can experience it in real time, real life, and make that decision, because it may not be right for them. They may need to pursue something else, but there's plenty of choice out there. And I would urge businesses who are listening and young people to go onto our website, apprenticeships.org, and there is a section dedicated purely to traineeships, which really does cover everything in a lot more detail, as well as there are opportunities that are advertised for traineeships by various employers, some really well-known names, some small, and you know, any employer of any size can offer a traineeship.
And in fact, looking onto those names, obviously we're in the business of broadcasting, and clearly whether it's Siren FM or indeed Southside Broadcasting, we're mm-hmm. always looking to sort of enhance people's skill set and various other things. But our colleagues at the BBC are just one of several blue chip companies. We've got BT actually involved with the whole thing, and Virgin Media, which is quite mm-hmm. interesting for people who actually, as you say, are looking for something in the kind of cultural or creative industry sector.
Definitely.
Adds to that the interesting sort of connection of Holly's Day Nursery in the Port of Tilbury and Siemens. You've got a whole collection of sort of folk that actually... This does seem to be something that's rolling out very positively across the country, really.
Definitely. The response has been really, really good. Mm. There's no sector that really can't lend itself to traineeships. So, if people can't find what they're looking for, do get onto our website or contact the National Careers Service, who can guide young people to their chosen occupation and give them the support they need to get there.
Absolutely. Helping people, and young people in particular, become work-ready, which I think is a wonderful phrase to actually sort of work our way through that. Just out of interest, Amanda, if anybody actually turned around and said, actually, I'd really like to be the head of employer and provider services, what kind of advice would you give them then in terms of that? Do you have a sort of traineeship for work within the civil service or within the agency itself?
We do. We have had quite a consistent apprenticeship program, mm. and across the civil service there are areas that are offering traineeship yes. programs as well. And our Minister, Matthew Hancock, is also, he has offered traineeships to young people, starting off with a small number, but building up to, you know, around about eight opportunities for traineeships. Right. So, absolutely, we definitely do offer opportunities, and young people should just get in touch, go to our website, any vacancies will be advertised on the website.
Which is fantastic, and obviously you can play back this podcast if you're listening again and catch the details. But just in case people are listening live, the website address, once again, Harmender, is...
apprenticeships.org.uk, or if anybody wants to Google traineeships, it will come up there, and they'll easily find what they're looking for.
We used to say use other search engines if you wish, but what the mm-hmm. hey, these days it's become a sort of adjective in itself, really. It's amazing, the power of the G word. Harmender, it's been wonderful just touching space with you, good self, about this fascinating and extremely useful programme and package that's coming together. We've got two final questions for you, as ever. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
It's been great. Thank you for having us.
And hopefully we can look forward to connecting with you again and keeping us updated with the fabulous work, of course, of the employer and provider services and traineeships and all the rest of the bits and pieces within the National Career Service.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Alex.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. 34. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225
grams of magnesium, 1 tablespoon.
Remember, any more than 1 tablespoon could kill you. Any less than 1 tablespoon could kill you.
Right,
and that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, then you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
With a high-spec accommodation, all with ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential nursing and dementia service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at roseville@prestigegroup.uk.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to
my wife Betty was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Through the surgery and telling our daughters, I could still remain positive. But eventually, I felt there was nothing more I could do for her. That's when I felt I was falling. That's when Tony was brilliant.
I would offer support to the family wherever I could, ultimately helping Betty fulfill her wish of passing away at home.
No one should face cancer alone. With your support, more nurses like Tony can be there for people like Betty and Bill. Text Tony to 70550 to donate £5 today. We are Macmillan Cancer Support.
We receive 94p of every pound donated.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
Thank you very much. Okay, right, we've just been speaking, of course, to the head of employer and provider services for the wonderful world of the civil service with Harminder Matharu. Harminder there with some fascinating information about, obviously, getting people set up for traineeships and fit for work and all the rest of the bits and pieces. And as we said, both Southside and Siren, we do some wonderful stuff in terms of providing opportunities for people to actually develop their communication skills and various other factors. But clearly, we always like to provide right of reply. And this show is now going to move on to an issue which our colleagues at BBC Radio 5 Live focused on with respect to a recent piece that they actually did on the challenges of being differently enabled and disabled in terms of travel and in particular sort of working with trains and various other factors. And it's fair to say that one of our regular contributors, who we're going to hear from in a few seconds, Minty Steed, is somebody who has been using certainly trains for the last year or so, off and on, in a variety of ways, etc. And Minty, you wanted to actually sort of put your side of the story because you couldn't get through to the BBC to do so.
No, I couldn't. I had two phones on the go trying to get a number through, and no, it was very much that everyone, almost everyone, seemed to have something of a moan, or a lot, as it were, moaning about travelling by the trains with disability assistance. And unfortunately, it seemed to be the East Coast were seemed to be the primary target. All I can say is to speak the truth, and I was brought up as a Wesleyan, speak the truth and speak it still, they cost you will. So I'm speaking the truth, as I found it to be, that I found no complaint at all in anything, apart from just one tiny little thing. I would appreciate it if it's not always considered that because you're disabled, you can be plonked next to the lavatory. So apart from that, and every company does that, so it's nothing to do with each person or one, so they seem to have this mindset, that's where we put you. But other than that, I couldn't have grumbled. And I had three trains in the one day and then three trains back, and it even included to make sure I was back on time to catch King's Cross, even a lift, complete with a rescue terrier dog at the same time with and all the equipment with me, and on the Eurostar to get into London to make sure I was then crossing time for King's Cross. And that was because there was a breakdown on the train, it was the lifts actually at one train station, and they even organised a taxi for me, and it was waiting to get me to the other station because the lift couldn't take me to the next station on. Mm. So you couldn't say better than that, and that's just one example.
Well, there we are. That's just the available, obviously. And should our colleagues at the BBC wish to actually sort of look towards that, I'm sure they can actually get in touch with you via Southside and various other things as well. So
I hope they do. Well, and then I can broadcast it.
Balance,
rather,
balance is obviously critical to these kind of things, as we always like to say to our students.
Yes, and that's why I'm balancing it up. You know, I'm sure there are things happen, but I'm sure it's because, and I know one of the reasons turned out to be someone had committed suicide on the line, and that delayed one, so someone waited about 5 minutes more than expected to be off their train because it couldn't be there immediately. Well, you can't help it if somebody does something like that, can you? You know, trains will be delayed then.
Exactly. Okay, moving on. Let's do the sort of, while we're handing out bouquets, you'd like to give a sort of name check to B&Q once again in terms of their assistance that they've been provided.
Yes. What would I have done without B&Q? As you know, through no fault of our own, but by a power fault that taken it all down, you know, from restoration somewhere else, well, the power all went down, so we lost everything here. We've had to rely on generators, and B&Q, when the little generator went haywire, immediately arranged an exchange, and we've been bagged not the new by, say, 9 in the morning, and by 4 p.m. we had another one, you know, delivered, and it was up and running, and the faulty one collected. Well, hey presto, X number of days on again, the next one went, and apparently, so it had to be collected, and they sent another one, which is the only one that they had available at the store, because they're actually closing that one and moving to another one, and it's going to be then reused, I think, for supermarket. And And the one that came, again, delivered literally within as soon as they possibly could, knowing it. But unfortunately, this one, which they had not unpacked, as though it wasn't there, but when he did, it was, it mustn't be out in inclement weather. It mustn't have any water on it or any rain near it. It mustn't be used about X number of metres of copper piping. You've got to have a copper peg in it. You must break goggles, this, that and the other. Well, that was certainly not practical. An outdoor generator, because that's what you need, unless you want to gas yourself, of course, you know. And so we rang up and immediately went to work. And Chris Watts, and that's rather appropriate when it comes to the power comes in watts, he tried everywhere. He couldn't find one anywhere to source one. So he said, anywhere I could find one to make sure we had power, they would pay for it. I sourced several, but they weren't available till next week because so many had been in for the floods, etc. So I'm trying to find one, he's trying to find one. Then on Monday morning, he managed to source one over in West Yorkshire, one of their, because he even tried all their other people that the owner worked with, in like Screwfix and all of those, nobody had one. And he traced one, he made sure it hadn't the same manufacturing fault on it, and he had it within a matter of about 2 hours. He said if it had to go by taxi and send it all the way up by taxi, make sure we had it. And touch wood, it is now up and running like a good little engine should. It is another one of the same manufacturer, but apparently it's not the same batch. So we shall see on that one, but so far so good. So B&Q, thank you very much.
Okay, well, there we are. I'm sure we can work through that, and who knows, they might even like to sponsor the station. Let's move on.
The station does work on power of one form or another, doesn't it?
Well,
if it's only the power of our ability to present programmes, Alex, which is certainly, we're not lacking in that, are we? So I reckon, yes, it's a form of power, we should, shouldn't we?
All right, okay, moving on. The Felon Moorland event was taking
That's
place
right,
with respect
yeah.
to areas. On to rural news. What sort of things do you want to bring to us from Leeds?
Okay, on Sunday it's the Fell and Moorland Working Terrier Spring Show for the area, and of course, as you know, the terriers, the team and radio station all combined are members of said club. And we shall be showing there and catching up with everyone from last year in the terrier world. And of course, when you're members of that particular club, and it is a working terrier club, and I do work around here, that you then are qualified also to go to the Great Yorkshire. So, because they have to be, you know, have to be members of appropriate clubs, etc. You see, it's not just completely open for any terrier. And we should be looking forward to it, and we're hoping to catch up with everyone concerned, all those who run it, including the secretary, who seems to be able to be a mobile dynamo at the same time as literally staying static. You know, she does everything all at once. She's great. And the people, of course, who rescue terriers out underneath, you know, crag sides and down cliffs and in mine, old mine shafts and wherever they manage to end up in, you know, they go and dig them out. Two young chaps who are very good at the job, and they're both named Carl. So you either get Carl 1 or Carl 2 if your terrier's trapped somewhere. And we'll be catching up with everybody like Ben Jackson and Bob Gibson and also Paul Ratcliffe, who's painted with a lovely portrait of Toppy. That's Tess joining in because she says, I've forgotten that she's also going to be in. Of course, she's going. And the Puts will be having their first turnout. And so that's the Fellow Moorland one. And the whole thing opens up everywhere, of course. The day before the Felon Moorland, it's the Gamekeepers event, and a big Gamekeepers show down in Derbyshire, which we attended last year, and we did very well. We had three firsts in a row there and about eight other prizes, so that wasn't bad for a Gamekeepers show. All the gamekeepers in the country are there. Of course, there'll be a lot of memories at Felon Moorland show of Mitzi, now the late Mitzi underneath, you know, snowdrops and that now, very sad we lost her, but at 22 she'd had a good life. She actually was the only one that succeeded in biting the gamekeeper who was judging and hang on to his fingers as if he his hand up, she's still hanging on to him, so Mitchie had her day there, so her little dog did. And there's, I would say, roughly about 20 events around the country on this Saturday and Sunday, so there's bound to be something in everyone's area, and there's at least four game and country fair style ones, as well as the gamekeeper's one. So if you're going to go out and about this weekend, it's odds on you'll find something. The Middleton Point to Point was its usual very successful event, and the weather was good, of course, and the view across from the top of the Whitwell Hill was, you could see everything, the whole of York and the full view of the Vale of York, which was worth it for anyone, even if they weren't minded to actually see the racing. Next week, of course, it's Holy Week, and I do not enter shows or things like that, and there aren't many on a Good Friday. I would like to point out just one thing, that I think that when you don't have horse racing on Good Friday and Christmas Day, I think that there's no necessity to use Good Friday. We have so many days, and because of the change in our seasons, there are so many more days you can go out and about. Granted, it's altered the whole rhythm of this country, but if we have these extra days, make use of them, there's no need to use Good Friday. And it isn't just of the Christianity, because all the faiths follow so much of it, you know, up to them. We know the point divides over Jesus, but there are so many parts that we all share. You know, Muslim, Christian, Jew alike, and all the, you know, everybody else has their own ways of believing. We all believe centrally in the one thing, is a saviour and to be saved. And I think that I think no one of any race, colour, creed, or following belief or nomination of any kind of how they feel about things would begrudge Good Friday leaving centrally at the day of what it is.
Okay.
You know? My little preaching bit over, but apart from Good Friday, it would be Castle Howard for the South Durham Agility Club, and the Chris Hare, who is another one who does everything everywhere all at the same time, and there's 5 days of that. I'll be doing 4 of them, and let's see what we do there.
Excellent. Well, as I say, our next official outing for the Southside Broadcasting Midweek Drive team is hopefully going to be at the North of England Horticultural Show's Harrogate Springflower Show, which should be on Thursday the 24th of April.
Week,
no, 2 weeks' time.
That's right. I was thinking when I thought into April 24th, my mind instantly actually to say that it was 24 when I heard it, it threw me a little because part of the flower show. But Snap, as you know, is 24 and she's not very well.
Okay.
And Stuart is doing his best for her, and also I think she may possibly be going to need an operation this afternoon.
Well, so we send positive thoughts there. Absolutely, not to worry. Well, as I say, we will hopefully touch base with you, catch up with you after Easter. Good luck with all the sort of celebratory things in betwixt times.
Yes.
And we'll look forward to obviously sort of going into April, May with more minty rural country news.
We've included a lot about rabbits and the fact that Winterton, which is within your range when you're elsewhere, is going to be first of the time it's Easter Winterton show is like a large rabbit show.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.